Hour number two off and rolling. Welcome in. Buck Rising here with you till 1 o'clock. It's our last show before we get out of here for the break, and we are hoping to keep you entertained. I know we're going to, up until you get time to celebrate with your friend, family, and loved ones. Happy Thanksgiving ahead of time. If I don't remember to tell you on the way out the door, I'm sure I will, but just in case. If you guys want to get involved, 615-737-1045 is the number. 615-737-1045. We've already had Coach Dave McGinnis. We'll have Mike Giardi of the NFL Network live from New England coming up next. In the meantime, I need you to kill the music, Lucas, and start the other music, because it's time for the dumbest thing in sports.
Let's be honest. You've already seen something this week that made you say,
"What the f*** is this?
That's bullshit.
What the hell? Give me some warning."
Something so mind-numbingly idiotic that you just want to get it off your chest.
Dumber than a second coat of paint.
Some idiot.
You are really dumb. For real.
It's the dumbest thing in sports this week on the Buck Rising Show.
Sure is. Condensed one this week, but if you wanna jump in, we'll see if we can't find some time for you. 615-737-1045. What's the dumbest thing in sports this week? I'm going to start. When I write articles at AtoZSports.com, when I write my Titans articles, when I'm doing some reporting, because that's basically, you know, that's the foundation of everything that we do, is writing, and it helps keep me sharp. I love writing, even though it's just a suffering. Just a giant suffering. Every time I'm doing it, I like writing once I've finished writing. Until such time as I have to present what I've written to the people of Titans Facebook. Now, if you are a member of one of these fan groups on Facebook, Facebook is famous for groups. You can interact with a bunch of people with like-minded similarities. If you're using it for sports, great. If you're using it for other things that will take you down dark rabbit holes and stuff that will convince you of things that aren't actually things, then perhaps maybe consider getting your stuff from elsewhere other than the Facebook groups. But for sports, it can be equally positive and just purely toxic, because what was sent to me this week in the comment section on one of the articles that I wrote, it came from Daniel John Kirtley on Facebook. Now, this was an article about the Titans and their struggles, how they basically washed out against the Texans, about Ryan Tannehill and his issues and the fact that there's just no wide receiver depth yet. So, I get this comment from Daniel John Kirtley. He says, "Hear me out, Buck." Okay. "Who knows the routes? Put Ryan Tannehill," not Tannehill, but Tannehill, "put Ryan Tannehill as wide receiver and bring in backup QB." So, Daniel John Kirtley, I've heard you. The world has now heard you, or at least the listening area, and it's a big one here on 104.5 The Zone. People have heard you put out into the universe that you would like to take your $90 million guaranteed quarterback, you'd like to split him out wide, and you'd like to have Logan Woodside, who all you saw during the preseason was him throw passes behind the wide receiver, you'd like to endanger your $90 million guaranteed product by putting him out there to catch passes from the backup, because you know who knows the routes. Not Ryan Tannehill, but Ryan Tannehill.
But he played wide receiver in college.
No, Buck. I don't want to talk about that. Do you know why I'm happy that I cover the NFL? It's so that I don't have to watch these games on television. Because I got a lot of respect for people who do these games, play-by-play broadcasting or color commentary. It's tough. I couldn't do it. And I couldn't do it around 32 other NFL teams. I'm having a hard enough time keeping up with the 85 different players that have been on the Titans roster this year. All right? So let me not cast stones from a glass house. But I do not need to hear for the 11,000th time about Ryan Tannehill at one time being a wide receiver at Texas A&M.
Fair weather idiot.
It's true, I am. I simply am. But I cannot take it anymore. 615-737-1045. 104.5. What's the dumbest thing in sports this week, Lucas Panzeca?
It's award season. The Biletnikoff Award awarded to the best wide receiver in college football. The finalists were named yesterday, I believe. And here are the three finalists. David Bell of your hated Purdue Boilermakers. Blech. Jordan Addison of Pitt. And Jameson Williams, the Ohio State transfer, who has been a star for Alabama this season. All great players. Problem is, the best wide receivers in the country were not included in that list. Namely, the three wide receivers at Ohio State and Jackson Smith and Jigba, Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave, who have had outstanding seasons and kind of been cannibalizing each other's numbers because they're so good. But with those guys aside, looking at the top of college football, Devin Tompkins, what he's done at Utah State, over 1,500 yards, averaging over 18 yards per catch and 9 touchdowns. Locally, I say locally, an hour away, Bowling Green, Jareth Stearns of Western Kentucky, over 1,500 yards, 12 touchdowns for him this season, and Jalen Tolbert of South Alabama, over 1,200 yards and 7 touchdowns, had 143 yards and a score in Neyland Stadium in the 60-14 loss to Tennessee last weekend. Jordan Addison's had a phenomenal season, 15 touchdowns should get you in any award finalist ranking, whatever, of Pitt, but I thought so many good wide receivers were left off that list, namely Chris Olave, who I think is the best receiver in the upcoming draft.
He's the Aaron Kraft of college football. He's been there for 100 years.
He holds the school record for touchdowns in a career at 35. Smith and Jigba holds the school record for yards in a game, I believe, earlier this season. I get a little bit scared. I had to look it up and make sure I had it right. That is how it's pronounced. He broke the record for yards in a game this season, I believe, against Will Compton's Nebraska Cornhuskers.
The best 3-win college football team in the country, according to Will Compton, is the Nebraska Cornhuskers, who got dummied again by Wisconsin.
The thing is, he's probably right.
No, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it at all.
They've played everybody pretty close.
No, it's just, it's mind-numbingly stupid what he does every week on Bussin' with the Boys, and he'll be here to defend himself at 12:20 regarding his mighty, mighty Nebraska Cornhuskers. But in the meantime, when we come back, it's going to be Mike Giardi of the NFL Network. He's based out of Boston. He covers the Patriots on the day-to-day, and his reporting this morning was that the Patriots aren't sweating this Titans team coming up north one bit. Mike Giardi of the NFL Network will join us on the other side. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. Welcome back. Buck Rising here with you till 1 o'clock. Waiting on our buddy Mike Giardi of the NFL Network to join us. Talk a little Titans and Patriots ahead of this game in Foxborough on Sunday. It's going to be interesting. I don't know who's going to play for this team. We ran through the transactions that were announced yesterday, and at this point, I mean, they're clawing for this bye week. They are like the walking dead at this point, the Tennessee Titans, an 8-3 record despite having almost 85 players, different players having dressed out for them throughout the course of the season. It's been a bit of a nightmare situation for them. And yet here they are. They sit atop the AFC as not just the division leader in the AFC South, but the conference leader. But this could all very quickly change, given that if New England was to win, that would be their 8th victory of this season. And then they would officially have the tiebreaker over Tennessee in their pursuit for home field advantage, which they so desperately need. And frankly, I need it. I need it for my relationship. If my girlfriend knows that I'm going to be on the road throughout the entirety of the playoffs, she's probably going to leave me. I wouldn't blame her. So I am, in that aspect, I need them to hang on to this top spot for as long as humanly possible. 615-737-1045 is the number. That's how you get involved. The Titans just sent us out their supplemental notes package, which is something that we get from PR once a week on Wednesdays, and there's some pretty interesting numbers about DeNico Autry and Jeff Simmons, who have been as important to the success of this football team as anybody involved so far this season. Last week, DeNico Autry, in his third consecutive game, was able to swat a pass down at the line of scrimmage. If the pass rush isn't getting home, that's the way that they've found to affect the quarterback. And this quarterback that they're going up against next, he doesn't give you time to get to him. He's been hugely efficient, Mac Jones of the New England Patriots, And joining us now from the frozen north is Mike Giardi of the NFL Network, who has been covering these Patriots at great length. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Buck. How are you, sir?
I am well. How are we faring up north?
It's really cold up here today.
How much am I not going to enjoy my trip to Foxborough this weekend outside of, you know, what should be a fun football game?
I would say, yeah, like 97% chance that you're really not happy that you're there.
Well, I'm going to get...
You know, the press box is warm, so, I mean, if, you know...
Oh, no, I'm soft, that though. It's just the trek out to what I've described as the North Korea of the NFL. Like, I consider that space in Foxborough to just be, you know, what's the line that separates the two Koreas, where if you cross it, you may get gunned down unnecessarily.
Demilitarized zone. What is it?
The demilitarized zone. Yes, that's what I consider the line between, you know, the one road that leads from Boston into Foxborough. Were you as surprised as everybody else in the NFL was that the Titans got smacked around by the Texans on Sunday?
Yeah, but they didn't really get smacked around, though, did they? I mean, it was the turnover.
12-0 at the half, Mike.
Yeah. They've had to deal, as you well know, as you well chronicled on your 72 different shows, that they have had to deal with a ton of stuff. And I thought the winning the two games after Derek went out was really, really impressive. And maybe that was just an inevitable letdown. With not having your guy and again dealing with all sorts of other things, you know, physical injuries for guys that had really, you know, kind of limited their offense at times. And it's, you know, maybe it was just one of those things. And now Mike has their full attention again.
Yeah. I mean, these kind of losses tend to reset them in a way that we've seen discernible evidence how much better Mike Vrabel teams are on the rebound. But this game is different. This is the hottest team in football. They now hold the longest consecutive win streak after the Titans dropped what would have been their seventh in a row in the New England Patriots. And it's not like the quarterback is doing more than he's asked to, but with a defense like the Patriots have at this point, it's just enough for them to be able to roll a team like the Falcons 25-0. What are you more impressed with this Patriots team at this point in the season that they're doing right now, Mike?
I mean, I think the defense is, I was asked this question the other day. To me, if you look at singular units in the AFC, offense, defense, special, whatever you want to pick, I think the Patriots defense right now is the single best unit of all that in the AFC. I think the way they've played over the last 5-6 weeks has been impressive to watch. They are a handful at all levels, and I think they're only getting better. So, you know, for a Titans offense that's struggling some, this is going to be a really difficult challenge the way the Patriots are playing right now.
They've got a league high as far as interceptions are concerned through 11 weeks of the NFL season at this point. Christian Barmore is somebody I was, before they signed Danico Autry, and obviously Danico Autry has been a fantastic addition to this Titans team in free agency, but I was banging the table during the draft process for Christian Barmore. He looks to be an absolute stud.
Yeah, he reminds me of a young Richard Seymour, for those who have been sort of around the Patriots for 20 years, just an absolute force in the middle, just big, long arms, disruptive against the pass, like just crushing the pocket. There was a play on Thursday night against Atlanta where Judon gets a sack, but I mean, if you watch what Barmore did coming up the gut, it's really Barmore's sack, you know, and there's been a lot of that in the last 5 or 6 weeks too. And I think part of this defense sort of emerging the way it has been because of Barmore's emergence. He's playing more and he's affecting the game quite a bit. And he has been, yeah, if you do a redraft, he's top 15 and I don't know, maybe he's top 10 the way he's playing.
The Patriots at this point in the last month of the NFL season are holding opponents to 4.51 yards per play. The Titans, however, are just below that at 4.6 flat. Mike Giardi of the NFL Network is here with us talking Titans and Patriots on Sunday. So the line is Patriots -6 at home. The Titans' offensive struggles at this point are clear and obvious, but what the Texans, I thought, did so well, Mike, to not allow this pass rush that Tennessee has, to get home is their longest completion was a 17-yard swing pass, basically, that went, or not a swing pass, what do you call those? Not an end around. I'm blanking on my football terminology. Regardless,
just keep going. Just move through it.
Why not get bogged down here? I think this is a great place for me to do radio. Thank you for leaning into this with me. Regardless, they weren't taking shots down the field. Tyrod was getting the ball out of his hands. Pass rush wasn't able to get home. That sounds eerily similar to what Josh McDaniels is asking Mac Jones to do.
Oh, yeah, no question. I mean, you know, you hear teams say, "Well, we want to operate from the top down." The Patriots are operating from the bottom up. You know, they want that short stuff. They want the check down stuff, the intermediate stuff, and the inside stuff. And he's really done, he's done a really good job with that. They had some success in recent weeks pushing the ball down the field, but it's not who they are. And on that front, it's usually, Aguilar is the one that you have to kind of keep eyes on because he's the one who has that sort of, that next level speed. But it's the short to intermediate stuff. It's working with Hunter Henry and Jacoby Myers over the middle. I'm really curious to see how Mike approaches that because I think up until the Thursday night game, Hunter Henry had maybe 7 or 8 touchdowns in 7 weeks, whatever it was. And it was like teams were forgetting him or singling him in the red zone. And Mike's not going to do that because Mike knows that that's someone that Mac is relying on. So he's going to try to force him to, find another option. And I think that's a real challenge for the Patriots because I think DNP's in Atlanta exposed some things. And look, their offense was a mess. Atlanta's was, and there was all kinds of stuff in that game. But there were some things that Dean did that I'm quite certain that Mike and Shane Bowen looked at and said, "We're gonna run that back. We're gonna see if the Patriots have answers for it." 10 days after they didn't have answers for it on that Thursday nighter.
So with Hunter Henry being that option for Mac Jones, I mean, I don't know how much Titans fans who don't have Jonnu Smith on their fantasy teams have been following what's happened with him, but he doesn't seem to be consistently on the field, and when he does, he appears to struggle consistently catching the football. Can you kind of describe for people what the Jonnu Smith experience has been for the Patriots?
So he looked really good in the summer, and I thought, to me, he was going to be, at the very least, he was going to be a massive red zone weapon for them. We saw a lot of stuff they were doing in the summertime where it looked like, okay, that's a place where they're really going to be able to utilize him. But he had that game early in the year against the Saints, week 3. Three balls clanged off his hands. One ended up as a pick six that pretty much was the death knell for the Patriots in that game. And I think it shook him. And, whether it's the weight of the contract or just the overall expectations, he started to find himself on the field less. When he was on the field, when he's been on the field, he's been pass blocking quite a bit or run blocking quite a bit and not running as many routes. And I think it's just been sort of a slow process for him to get integrated into the offense. And then, now he's been dealing with the shoulder for basically a month, and that kept him out of the game too. So, how much of that has affected him as well and his progress, they're not really forthcoming with injuries here, but clearly it's been a thing. So I don't think anybody down there is ready to say, "Oh, this is a bad signing or a bust," but it just, it hasn't taken off, I think, quite like they had hoped when he was really their primary target. That's the guy we want. If we can get one guy, he's the guy we want. They got him. And it just hasn't, it hasn't taken off yet.
If you ask Bill Belichick about injuries, though, all you're going to get is like an icy stare and a short answer. Like Vrabel might actually choke slam one of us.
That is true. As a witness to many of Mike Vrabel press conference, yes, he does not appreciate that question at all.
Mike Giardi of the NFL Network is here with us on 104.5 The Zone. What, I mean, Mike, you've covered, I'm going to age you. I do mean to age you. Normally I say I don't mean to age people, but of course, with
I'm
your
old, it's fine.
In fact, the opposite. What kind of regard is Mike Vrabel held in up there? I haven't had a chance to watch this Man in the Arena 9-part Tom Brady ESPN Plus documentary special. I know Mike's featured in it, but I feel like we are so far removed from those first 3 Patriots Super Bowl teams that he was on that I think people don't necessarily understand the weight that he still carries in that part of the country.
Well, I want to bring this up at some point, so I'm glad you're giving me the forum. To me, having covered those teams, people talk about Willie McGinnis, they talk about Teddy Bruschi, you know, the Seymours. But Mike Vrabel was almost the epitome of what they did early in that first, you know, they've had, I guess, two separate dynasties, if you will, in that first dynasty, because he was a scrap heap guy from Pittsburgh, never really latched on. Defensive end. They stood him up more. They moved him around, and he just became like, they hate the phrase down there, but that Patriot way that you hear all the time. Like, to me, he was like the ultimate guy in that, and just a tremendous playmaker, the intelligence, the toughness. I give me him over any of those other guys. In my opinion, I just thought he was that good of a player and that much of a force. You know, he may have shot his way out of town. Depending on who you ask, he made some comments when they built Patriot Place about, I think they were going through a contract negotiation, or maybe it was a CBA thing. And
Mike was throwing bombs on the way out the door. I love that.
Well, it was like, who do you think built this place?
We did.
And then the next thing you know, he's getting traded to Kansas City with Matt Cassel, you know, for a second round pick. So it was an interesting timing of a move. But, yeah, I mean, look, I think he was a tremendous player. He should be in the Patriots Hall of Fame one day. He probably already should be there now. And I think, he'll, you know, like I said, he'll eventually get there. But he was – for people who didn't see him, I mean, the players this week are talking about Hightower's like, yeah, of course I've seen film of Vrabel. You know, they love to run that stuff back. And he's like, that dude set the damn edge, you know. Like, he did. He was a hell of a football player.
Mike Giardi of the NFL Network is our guest here on 104.5 The Zone. So, Mike, the AFC is a cluster bleep right now. I don't know how to decide who's actually good, if we're overrating all of the good teams or underrating all of the bad teams, given that the Dolphins are killing Lamar Jackson and that the Texans are upsetting the Titans as a 10-point underdog. Like, there's so much slop right now, particularly in this side of the league. Kansas City, all of a sudden, after having the literal worst defense in the sport, is holding opponents to a ridiculously low margin of error. Who is good in the AFC at this point as we sit here in week 12?
I guess Kansas City and the Patriots are good right now.
Oh, that's so gross.
And I eliminate Tennessee from that just because it's coming off the last week. And I think we're in that cycle now where every week we're like, well, they're the best team. Nope, they're the best team. Nope, they're the best team. I think if Tennessee can get healthy, I mean, you know it. You've seen it like that. I think it's a really good team. I think it's a really tough team. And I think the injuries have really bogged them down. So whether it's, you know, if there's a shot that Derek comes back, you know, if you can get Julio's hamstring right and get, you know, AJ, you know, constantly in and out of the lineup, like get him out there. I mean, Belichick talked about AJ today and there's reverence there. Like, that dude's a really good player, you know, really hard to defend at all levels, to tackle, the whole thing, but they haven't had that full lineup. So it's a credit to be where they are at this point. And, you know, almost feel like you're sort of biding time. Like, let's get some of those bodies back and get back to what we, you know, our vision was before and what you saw during the course of the win streak. I think, you know, we touched on their defense briefly. Like, that was a huge thing, right? I think we went into the year and I remember being there on August 1st and saying, like, if their defense could just be representative this year with the offense that they have, then they're a really good football team. They've been better than, you know, middle of the road. I think they've been really good. The development of Landry, Simmons taking another step, Byard having a really just a massive bounce back year. Like, that's a really good unit. I truly expect Sunday's game is going to be like a rock fight. I think it's going to be like 16-13. They're going to beat the crap out of each other. And, you know, it's going to be like a last man standing type thing.
It's so gross because that's exactly what that playoff game wild card weekend was in 2019. And of course the last Patriots game with Tom Brady at quarterback getting intercepted by Logan Ryan and sealing that win for Tennessee. I'm going to play I guess Titans trivia is what we're going to call this. Normally I make Lucas, our producer, play this game with me. But, Mike, if I told you that the Titans are the NFL team this season with the most 100-yard receivers in 2021, they've had four guys go for 100 in a game. Could you name the four wide receivers that have had 100 yards for this team?
No. No, I couldn't.
AJ Brown, Julio Jones, Marcus Johnson, and the mighty Hoosier Nick Westbrook Akina coming off a 100-yard game himself. They're running out of bodies here, and I don't know whether they're going to be able to sustain. And I think that they I like them as a betting underdog in New England, but I don't know that they're going to be able to overcome this. If the Patriots are to win this game, Mike, how are they going to do it?
They're not going to turn the ball over, for starters. I think they're going to have to play from in front. I think it's one of the things that, you know, the national media has gone crazy now with Mac, and I've Mac Jones, and I've said all along, I think
Wait. You're the national media. You don't get to separate yourself from the national media.
But I'm on the beat level. You know, I have that.
Boo.
I don't have that buck. I don't have that big buck voice and all the and you know and all the different places where people can hear me like you. But I think like we've gotten a little the people got a little too carried away with how he's playing. I think that, like I said, I think it's a great marriage between coach, system, and quarterback. But I think he's not winning you games right now. He's not losing you games. It's a bigger thing for me with Mac Jones is he's managing the games well. And there's it used to be an insult to say he was a game manager, but he's game managing, and I think he's doing a good job at that, and a really good job at that, and I think that's what he needs to do on Sunday because the Patriots have talked all week, Buck, about the idea that this is the best team they've played so far, and I look at the schedule, and I look at the opponents that they played, and I completely 100% agree. Like, this is going to be their most physical challenge. This is going to stress them, and I don't think you can discount the Vrabel factor. Like, he has swag and there's no fear of Bill and I think or intimidation and I think there are some times where teams come in here and they're like that Belichick guy's pretty good, you know, like what do they got for us, and it gets in the head and then the next thing you know you're down 14 and I don't think you have to worry about that with Mike and the way he'll have his team ready for the game.
No, Mike's just out there in a rainstorm. No hat, no poncho, no nothing. Savage. Just letting it wash over him like he's some kind of movie character. He's unbelievable out there.
I would have had pneumonia. I'd have been out this week. Like, you know, just day to day. Giardi's hospitalized for like a month if I stood out in the rain like that.
Real football guys don't get pneumonia, Giardi. Mike Giardi of the NFL Network. Can't wait to spend Thanksgiving weekend with you, buddy. I'll see you up there.
It's going to be the best, Buck.
Get the hell out of here. Mike Giardi.
All right,
here with us on 104.5 The Zone. It's going to be tough, man. I really am looking forward to – I think six points is too big of a line. I don't care how good they've been. I think that this game is really going to come down to it. I think it's going to be disgusting. I think it's going to be a really, really drag-down knockout, just the worst kind of football aesthetically. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Because if you remember that wild card game, for those of you who witnessed or remember – I don't – not remember, even though it feels like 100 years ago, 2019 – that run that they went on that started in New England and taking down Tom Brady, that was a performance where Derek went crazy, but the Titans' passing game wasn't able to manage much, and the defense that had been okay but had shown some signs of weakness after starting off that season really, really strong, they played as good a game against Tom Brady as any that we saw played that season. And also, he's out there throwing to 85-year-old Benjamin Watson as his primary receiving option. It wasn't necessarily. Now, I think Tom likes it better in Florida where he can pick his groceries and then just win a Super Bowl at his leisure. When we come back, we're going to take your calls. George in Cookeville wants to talk Titans wide receivers. And you'll also hear from Kevin Byard on the Patriots and how this game plan is going to be similar to last Sunday's game plan. I'm Buck Rising. It's 104.5 The Zone. Mike Vrabel's going to try and roll into Foxborough and get one over on his old boss on Sunday. Titans versus Patriots right here on 104.5 The Zone this weekend. The number if you want to get in, we haven't talked much to you about this game, so we'd welcome your thoughts, your questions, your comments, and concerns. 615-737-1045 on the Titans versus the Patriots this weekend. Something that we talked to Kevin Byard about yesterday after practice before we go to the phones. Or I guess, yeah, after the walkthrough that they held. They will be back on the practice field today. They're taking it easy on Thursday, then back to work on Friday before they ship off for Boston on Saturday. So Kevin Byard was asked about Mac Jones and what they're asking him to do within the offense, and then I had a follow-up on that about how similar that might look to what Tyrod Taylor or Tyrod Taylor did to them this past week.
For sure. I mean, it takes patience. I mean, as a safety, I understand my responsibility, depending on, you know, what the coverage is and stuff like that. I can't really get too antsy to try to go, you know, go outside the defense, try to go make certain plays, because like you said, then they will take a shot, and then nobody wants to see that, no big plays. So I think as long as we, you know, keep the ball in front of us, he can dink and dunk it as much as he want. If we're, you know, good in the red zone, we'll be good. But like I said, he's playing at a high level. He's doing exactly what they're asking him to do, and we'll try to take away some of those options and those deep balls from him, so he can keep checking down to running backs and stuff like that.
Is he a little bit more game that you guys just played?
Yeah, similar, honestly. I mean, we gave up, I think, 107 passing yards. You know, obviously at the end of a game and, you know, with all the emotions of losing the game and stuff like that, you kind of get, you know, lost and with the stats and stuff like that. But me watching the film, I really felt like, you know, we didn't really play that bad as far as on defense. But a couple key spots that we didn't play well, you know, touchdown in the red zone here and there. But, yeah, I mean, I think that if we could play that like that, like we played on Sunday, I think we'll be fine. You know, just a couple times where I think we could have just challenged receivers just a little bit more.
That's Kevin Byard yesterday meeting with us after the team's walkthrough. 615-737-1045. So as a safety, it's got to be tempting to cheat up on a quick passing game, on a short passing game where the average depth of target is well below what the league's offenses are typically doing right now. Mac Jones is not being asked to do a ton down the field. Doesn't mean he's not capable of that or that they're not capable of breaking yards after contact. And then on top of all of that, they've got one of the best rushing attacks in football over the last couple weeks that really people aren't paying near enough attention to. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to George in Cookeville up next on 104.5 The Zone. Hello, George.
Thank you for taking my call. I'll try to be brief. They say the height of ignorance is to have an opinion on something you know absolutely nothing about.
That's my whole job, George. Season,
yeah. Season ticket holder, Titans homer. Love Grable, love Strunk, love Robinson. I'm so proud to be a Titan. I've had a lingering question over the years, and this may not be the time. Maybe we need to wait till after the season. Why, and I don't know, so I'm asking, I know some of the things maybe. Why with a 31-32 pick, when everybody said that Elijah Moore was the best receiver available, the Titans we've never solved that wide receiver problem long term. Corey Davis, if you remember last year when we threw the bomb, they didn't throw it to Corey Davis. They threw it to A.J. A.J.'s a slot receiver, a Michael. He's a big time, big body, but he can go long. You talk about bringing the defense up. We don't have a Tyreek Hill or Devontae Adams. Why can't the Titans wake up and draft somebody? Now, I think, let me quit. Julio Jones, when I heard we got Julio, I thought, now I understand why we didn't take Elijah Moore. I know we got an offensive tackle from Virginia Tech. Football starts with offensive and defensive line, so I know all that. But when is the Titans going to get a Tyreek Hill or a Devontae Adams or somebody that scares that you know what out of you when you put him out there on the post? And I'm up and listen. And, again, this call is not appropriate right now, but I sit here and listen to you almost every day, and I never have had that question answered as to what happened then.
I appreciate the call, George, and thank you for listening. I mean, A.J. is one of those players. Now, the consistency has not been there this season specifically, but, I mean, if you were listening to Mike Giardi just last segment, George, then you know that people like Bill Belichick have great respect for A.J. Brown. Now, a receiver alone, one receiver alone, can't make the difference. A.J.'s out there. I don't want to say he's out there by himself, but when Marcus Johnson went down and your three wide receivers just physically left are Nick Westbrook-Ikhina and Chester Rogers and Des Fitzpatrick, who has gone through his own struggles as far as finding a role and making legitimate contributions on this coaching staff. It's easy for a defense to cue on the one thing that you do well, which is AJ, and take him away or try as best as humanly possible to take him away. And if you'll remember, they tried drafting that kind of speed in 2018, I believe, was the draft class. No, 2017 was the Corey Davis, Adoree Jackson draft, because Taywan Taylor in the third round out of Western Kentucky did possess that kind of straight line speed. Now, clearly, Taywan Taylor, who's out of the league at this point, has not been anywhere close to a Tyreek Hill type. And there aren't that many of those that exist, by the way. Like, they're singular for a reason. There's only one Tyreek Hill. There's only one Davante Adams. And frankly, the Green Bay Packers, even with Davante Adams in the lineup, if they don't have Aaron Rodgers to deliver him the ball, you saw what that looked like when Rodgers had to miss a game due to the COVID protocols, and Jordan Love was just overwhelmed. Receiver is the most positionally dependent of the positions in football. Nobody needs more help than a wide receiver to do their job well, whether it's somebody breaking them open within a play design on a route, whether it's a quarterback delivering the ball to them accurately, leading them down the field and allowing them to catch the football in stride. So, you know, I don't disagree that they should not have done more at the wide receiver position, and no pun intended, Elijah Moore, because he just had a big game for the Jets with Joe Flacco at quarterback. So even quarterback deficient teams with good enough wide receivers can be made to look better than they actually are. Elijah Moore would have helped this team. There's no doubt about it. But for their purposes, they didn't feel comfortable overdrafting guys. And instead, in the second round, they took Dylan Raidens. And it was interesting to hear Mike Vrabel talk about Dylan Raidens yesterday, because I thought my buddy Luke Worsham asked Vrabel a really smart question. You know, with Des Fitzpatrick and with other players, whether it be, I'm blanking on the first round, Caleb Farley. Sorry, it's been so long since we've seen him that I've forgotten Caleb Farley's name. Caleb Farley was able to make plays on special teams before they threw him out there on defense. Mike Vrabel said that a big reason why Des Fitzpatrick, they felt better about him because he'd made plays on the show team during the week at practice and on special teams before they threw him out there on offense. With an offensive and defensive lineman, it's tough to get them those special team reps for them to be able to show you progress. And that was something Mike Vrabel was asked about yesterday.
Yeah, or an improve, you know, and that's, you know, I think Luke, you know, that's a great question. And that's something that I've been trying to figure out as some of these younger guys up front, you know, on both sides of the ball, is how you can get them to improve. You know, real details only go so far with somebody up front. You got to put pads on and you have to go out and practice and compete and do those things. And so, you know, we've been trying to add, you know, some periods, you know, maybe on a Thursday, based on how guys feel, based on who's available, to get some of that speed work in with pads, just to sprinkle it in there to give some of those guys opportunities to improve during practice, especially, you know, as we move here towards the back part of the season.
So the answer is they're still trying to figure out the answer, because without live game reps for an offensive lineman, you don't know how to make them or have them make progress in a way that makes you comfortable enough putting them out there, because he's not getting those kind of reps at practice. When we come back, we will talk about this Titans-Patriots game. We'll also touch on the latest college football playoff rankings. I finally got what I wanted last night. Cincinnati, Justice, Will Compton will join us at 12:20 as well. Your phone calls, too, coming up next. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone.